2 weeks left in the high school basketball regular season, which means 2 weeks left on the Prep Sports Now podcast. I'm Case Kiefer here with Ray Brewer. Regular season closing down. These games are really meaning something now, Ray, and we saw some big wins last week from a few teams. Of course, I got to make sure the first team we mention, Green Valley, great week, beats Silverado, beats Foothill. That was a big upset. Neither of us really expected them to beat Foothill. Now they got a chance at the two in the Southeast. There's some other teams that did some good things. But what do you think about the Gators, my Gators, like I've been saying, performance?
I'm absolutely shocked. Here's the good news, Case. Green Valley somehow upsets Foothill. They must have, the miracle of all miracles, the win. Get this, brother. Your Gators, with the win, improved to 10-10 on the year.
And they're like 7-3 in the division. It doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah. Who could figure this out? But, hey, give Green Valley credit. They're piecing it together later in the season. You watched them play this week or last week against Silverado, a game that could have gone either way. Green Valley, give them credit. They made the shots at the end, especially from the charity stripe. And at this point of the year, it's who's going to get hot? What player, what team, and can you ride that all the way through? And maybe you're right, Case. Maybe you predicted the future. Maybe Green Valley is that team.
And we should mention, they didn't just upset Foothill. They beat them by 13. I think maybe either of us thought they could win by a little bit, but to kind of pull away in that fashion was stunning. Let's talk about a couple other teams that had big weeks. We'll just start at the Northeast because that's the first name I'm seeing here. Las Vegas, they won two games. They beat El Dorado. Now they're right back in the playoff race, 4-5. Tied with Chaparral, and I know you're sweating those Wildcats because they finally look like they're living up to be their potential.
Yeah, and all year long we thought the league would go Canyon Springs, Vegas, right? And then Vegas lost once to El Dorado. Okay, it's just once. Then they kind of slipped against Valley. Then they lost against against my Cowboys.
And then I think the Desert Pines game both just couldn't believe.
We shook our heads. And because when we look at the team, we see some superior athletes. You know, I know that Hassan Henderson is big, quick, and physical, and I don't care what sport you're in. That's better than half the teams in that league. But at 4-5 in league, they're tied with Shap, and it's all in. Chips are on the table, baby. They play this week in the Cowboy Corral, the home of my great PE days as a ninth grader.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. The game of all games to be in the driver's seat to get the 4 seed to play Coronado in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I've argued all along that I think that the 4 teams in the Northeast could possibly run the table in the playoffs and beat the 4 teams in the Southeast. I know you disagree, but do you think either Shap or Vegas would beat Coronado? I don't think Coronado would want to play Vegas.
We are really on the same page today. This is the next thing I was going to say. Well, first I want to get out of the way that I will be at this Vegas and Shap game. I'm getting down to only a few high schools I've never been to, and Shap is one of them. So I need to take some pictures of that gym, your soccer state championship banner. It's going to be a great night at Shap tomorrow night. Come say hi, I guess, if you're out there.
Yeah.
But really, what I was just about to say was, if I'm Coronado, no offense to your Cowboys, I know how much of a homer you are for Chaparral, but I'm rooting for Chaparral. If I'm Coronado, I don't want to play Vegas. I'm much more scared of Vegas than Chaparral. I mean, is that fair? I think Vegas just has more kids and more athletes.
And the thing with Vegas is they have athletes. Their point guard, George Sanico, might be 5'5", but he plays like he's 6'1", 6'2". And I think because he's so small, he's definitely a wild card to say the least. You know, he's tough to defend against. He's always there. It's like every time you look around, the guy's at your knees taking the ball away. And I just think overall, I know this is a fact. I don't think it's a fact that the Northeast, top to bottom, has better athletes than the Southeast. Okay, Coronado, great year. You know, 9-0 in league, 18-5 overall. They're running the table in that league, beating everybody convincingly. They're a great team. But what happens when the athleticism of Vegas, because I think even though I pick Shap, I think Vegas, when it's all said and done, is going to prevail, is faced up against Coronado, which has got a great team. They've got a few really, really elite players. But altogether, 1-10, I don't know if they have the athleticism that maybe Vegas does. And I know that matters in the playoffs. And I know the Vegas kids are gamers, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I I do think that you have more of a chance of your Northeast sweep happening if Vegas gets the four seed. I'm still not taking it. There's no way I'm not taking Coronado to win one playoff game. And look, now you're going to shake your head and go crazy. But with the way Green Valley is playing, you can't say 100% that they can't upset Valley or El Dorado. I think they're going to give either of those two teams a game.
Well, see, that's where I think the athleticism definitely plays in, because Valley and El Dorado, which I've both seen.
And they're a big favorite, I admit.
They push the ball up the court. Remember, Green Valley struggled against Del Sol, triple overtime. They need some miracle three foul shots, right? And they shouldn't have beat Basic the first time. My Wolfpack!
Your Wolfpack. You're picking them again this week against Green Valley. We'll get to that later, but let's stay with our theme of hot teams. I think we got one from each division. We kind of got the Fab Four. We mentioned Green Valley. We mentioned Las Vegas. How about we go to the Southwest, where you saw a team, Sierra Vista, really seems to be clicking. They're 9-2, pretty much going to get that two seed in the playoffs.
They are, and the thing I like about Sierra Vista is they're a real good shooting team. You know, you got Vico, you got my man Macy Greer, but when you slice and dice it, Kiefer, they are small. They have no big inside presence, and I think that's why Gorman was able to handle them like they did, is because you got nobody that can match up against those big guys. But you got to give Sierra Vista a lot of credit. 9-2 in league, two-game lead over Western and Durango for the second spot, and that second spot is real vital because, one, you avoid Gorman in the playoffs until the regional finals, and two, even if you lose to Gorman in the regional finals, the NIAA gives you a makeup game, and you get to play the playing game to get the four spot at state, and then you get to avoid Gorman again until the state championship game. I really do think that Vico, and I'll never say his last name right.
Nomaya, I think.
No,
I think
Nomaya. No, there's a lot more than Nomaya.
I thought it was Nomaya.
No, it's a lot of words,
right,
is what I'm saying. But what I'm telling you is that I could see Sierra Vista and Gorman playing four times. Thursday night.
This is the second one of the year.
The second of four. Region championship game on February the 18th. And state championship game on February the 25th. Not too far-fetched. They are definitely hot. I think they got a lot of new players in this year, and it took a while for those guys to blend. But listen, at 19-3 overall, they're doing something right. And I think, I really think in the semis, like the region, say they got to play like a Centennial or a Cimarron. And I know
or a Palo Verde, either one of those three, all bunch together.
You think they lose to that team? Now, listen.
I think they're a favorite, but I mean,
I would take Palo if they played Sierra.
No.
Yeah.
Now that game has to happen because there's no way.
I was so impressed with Palo when I watched them play 2 weeks ago. They were just well coached and well organized, and nothing against Kent Johnson, who's done a great job at Sierra Vista, but they just found a way to win, bro, and I think they would find a way to win now.
Well, our tens of loyal listeners are not going to believe to hear this, but I don't know what to root for now. All year I've been picking Cimarron to win the Northwest, so I want them to get the one out there. But now I kind of want Palo to get the one so we can see them play Sierra Vista and we can settle this argument. Or maybe Palo can get the three and play Sierra Vista. But that's going to be tough because they got a half-game lead in the Northwest, which brings us to our last of what I just branded the Fab Four teams that really came on this week. Legacy, I think, has won five in a row. They've pretty much locked up that fourth spot. Not mathematically, but I think they're three games ahead of Cheyenne and the closest challengers. After a tough start to the season, Legacy has really turned it on.
Yeah, and this league, for the parity that it's known for, has been real top-heavy this year. Palo 9-1, Centennial 9-2, Cimarron 9-2, Legacy 7-4. Ever since I said Centennial could run the table, by the way, in that league, they're like 1-2 since. Just
right.
To let you know.
I will say this week, Cimarron plays, listen to this, Murderers Row. I think they play Palo tonight, Centennial Wednesday, and Legacy Friday. As much as I like Cimarron, I don't think you can ask for them to go any better than 2-1. I'd say 2-1 would be a victory. 1-2, you're disappointed, but no way they can win all three of those games, right?
Yeah, and I got to give you credit. Christian Brown was like the only player I knew on Cimarron at the beginning of the year. They're 19-4 overall, and one of those 19 wins I think was like a 46-42 victory. So they're the type of team that brings the lunch pail, they roll up their sleeves, and next thing you know, they get the W. It's not pretty by any means, but they're getting the job done.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I mean, we're going to talk about all these games, but I think Cimarron is going to beat Palo tonight. It's going to beat Centennial Wednesday, and they're going to look great, be on top of the Northwest, and then they're going to lose to Legacy, and we're going to have an interesting final week. That's what I think is going to happen in that league. With that stunning reveal that I can tell you're just on the edge of your seat, mesmerized by my pink shirt today.
Yes.
We'll go to the rest of our predictions. We're going to start Tuesday night. The two top teams in the Northeast right now, L-Dog and Canyon. Tough to see Canyon losing.
Exactly. Are they? If they beat El Dorado, they win the league. They're great. I think Canyon loses one more time this year to Gorman.
I know we touched on this game, but I guess we got to keep it going. What else are you looking for in this Las Vegas at Shap game? You're still holding out hope for the Cowboys to get that four spot, but I think that Las Vegas is really coming on.
Here's the deal. In that northeast part of town case, Las Vegas is the team everybody wants to beat. They're number one in every sport. They're the elite school. Shap, they lose at everything. It's the mentality at the two schools, I think, that is the difference. You got Vegas, a winning environment. Shap, a losing environment. Winners beat losers. I think Vegas is going to win the game, but I'll never pick against my Cowboys. So I took Shap.
You took Shap.
So I'm a winner either way.
Yeah, exactly. The only other two games on Tuesday are both in the Northeast. Valley and Desert Pines, got to like Valley there. And then not such a marquee battle between Sunrise Mountain and Rancho. They're both 1-8. So we'll go ahead and skip over to Wednesday, where Green Valley hosts Basic. And you think Green Valley's magic is going to run out. They had a close game with Basic the first time. I know you're kind of on the Wolves bandwagon. I think you feel bad to all these kids on the team. Like, I can't remember the quarterback's name, but you got Devontae Boyd.
Christopher. I know, Carducci.
Devontae Boyd, Carducci. I think you feel bad for those kids who are always picking against them in football because it seems like you pick them in basketball every week.
Here's why Basic is going to beat your Green Valley Gators. And I know that's kind of like your...
Does the Henderson Bowl exist in basketball?
It doesn't exist. But I think Green Valley right now is so cocky and confident. First of all, you've been filling their heads with lies. And they're hearing you, and they think they're better than what they are. And they just think it's lowly Basic, who's got three wins in the league. We're big, bad Green Valley. We just beat Foothill, you know. And then they're gonna get stunned because this game always means more to Basic than it does to Green Valley. It's all mental, bro. You gotta don't X and O me. It's all mentality.
Well, if something's going to their head, I should mention Green Valley is a team of unique hairstyles. I think like their three best players have something carved into their head or a different hair color dyed. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I should mention it.
I'm glad you did. As you look at my gray hair dye, right?
Yeah, your gray hair dye. We'll stay in the Southeast. Top two teams still, even though Foothill fell to Green Valley, they still got the two spot. But if Green Valley wins and Foothill loses to Coronado, which we both think is going to happen, they'll be tied. How can Foothill upset Coronado and make sure the Cougars don't run through Henderson undefeated?
Well, I think the thing with Foothill, I've seen him play twice. Both games they've started awfully. Against Coronado, the first time they were down 15-0. Foothill needs to start strong, hit its shots, and hopefully Coronado, which hasn't had much adversity in league play, has a hard time answering the call. But if it follows the formula of Foothill starting bad, Coronado pouncing on him early, sign still and delivered. You got to give Coronado credit, dude. Totally shocked me without a doubt. They are beating teams early. They are beating teams convincingly, and they're the Canyon Springs of this league.
The Canyon Springs of this league.
Whoa, Canyon Springs is rocking and rolling.
Oh, Coronado. I was getting confused and saying you were a Foothill.
Coronado is the Canyon Springs.
I got you. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, listen, Canyon Springs has been dominant except when they played my Cowboys.
Yeah, I just missed that one, but now I got you. I get what you're saying. Liberty and Silverado are holding on to their playoff hopes. I think they are going to fight for that four seed. Silverado's there right now, but they have Del Sol and Secta, respectively. So you got to think they're probably going to get wins on Wednesday. Who do you like getting that fourth spot? Do you think Silverado holds on, or do you think Liberty, who I think we both expected a little bit more out of, storms up?
Well, whoever gets that seed will be a playoff team with a losing record facing a Canyon Springs team I wouldn't want to get in front of. So it's one more game to the season.
There you go. Durango at Desert Oasis. I think we talked just a couple weeks ago about how impressive Desert Oasis was, that they stormed out to this big start. Well, it's kind of gone away since then. They've lost four in a row. Can't expect them to do much more against Greg Gentry and the Trailblazers.
Hey, I tell you what, Greg Gentry is if he gets them in the playoffs, more power to him, because I really think a strong Durango team could give Centennial or Cimarron a fight in the playoffs. I really do. And Desert Oasis has been so one-dimensional this year. You know, the Mikkel kid shoots the ball 30 times a game. He scores 30 points. There's the problem.
Well, there you go for that game. Spring Valley also is trying to get that spot from Durango. So Durango, every game is important right now, as is Spring Valley, who hosts Sierra Vista that night. Should be a tough game for them. But we'll go on to the next game. I think one of the games of the week, there's certainly a few you can make arguments for, but the game of the week in Northwest Las Vegas, at least, Cimarron at Centennial. Look, Cimarron, almost all their games have been close, even when they've lost, except to the game to Centennial earlier in the year. I think they lost by about 13. Will it be closer this time, or is Centennial going to score a big win?
Well, Centennial is a good team, you know, and Haseem Dixon is a good player. And, I like Cimarron. I like their, you know, lunch pail mentality. The problem is eventually you got to have somebody who could score the ball. And there's times when you watch Cimarron play and you're like, oh, my God, who's going to score for him now?
Well, with that being said, I'm taking Cimarron. I think they're going to box out. I think they're going to have a big advantage
box
on the rebounds.
Out.
The big advantage on the rebounds. I think they're going to get a lot of second chance points. I think that's going to be the difference.
The Cimarron bricklayers.
Why? I don't get it. But anyway, we'll move on.
Bricklayers. They're shooting bricks.
Is their shooting percentage really that much worse than a Centennial?
Would you score 45?
That's because they lock down and play defense. They make a lot of passes. They run the
Oh my God, Pete Carrill here, the Princeton offense.
They run the non-existent shot clock down to get the best shot. There you go. I think they're having less possessions than other teams. That's my point. but anyway, we'll go to a game maybe we can agree more on. Or actually, no, I think we're on opposite sides of this game too. Valley, Las Vegas. You think Las Vegas continues their tear? I've got Valley.
Well, I was at the first Valley Vegas game, and I saw a Vegas team that couldn't get the ball up the court. And what happened was my man, George 5'5" Sanico, got in foul trouble. And with him on the Pines, the backup, Phil Dunnigan, couldn't quite get the ball up the court.
Look at you. You know the whole Wild
I'm
Cats
there.
Team.
I'm there. Hey, Vegas rocks the house. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Oh,
so if Sanico stays out of foul trouble, I think Vegas hangs with them. And Vegas is desperate. Valley's in. They've punched their ticket to the dance. Vegas needs this, baby.
All right, you name-dropped all the Vegas guys, so I'm going to name-drop all the Valley guys. Christian Kirkwood came back from injury. He's just now getting back up to speed. He's going to be good. Christian Kezzie, this kid can penetrate the lane like nothing. I think he drops at least 19. And then one guy that's been inconsistent but I think could be really good is Caleb Carter. This kid is, you know, could put up 20 at 10 in any minute, and I think he's going to do it against Las Vegas. So there you go. You name-drop the Wildcats. I'll name-drop the Vikings. Give me Valley in a close game.
Oh, a close game. You're that confident.
Well, I'm not real confident. Okay. I mean, it's at Las Vegas, home gym, but I like Valley. I think they're the better team.
In the cat cage? You're telling me the Vikings are going to go down to the cat cage and prevail?
Well, your argument against me whenever I use the home court thing is what? They have to drive to a different state? No, it's Valley in Las
different.
Vegas. It's right down the road.
This is Vegas, though. This is Vegas High, where winners are born.
There you go. Sierra Vista and Gorman. I know Sierra Vista wants this one bad. They're putting their whole season around. They wanted to beat Gorman. They came close the first time, but Gorman pulled away. Is that size going to be their ultimate undoing, like you said earlier?
I think it is, but I will give you a small but, Kiefer. Saturday, Gorman plays the third-ranked team in the nation on ESPN2, a night game. Do you think that maybe Gorman looks a little ahead of itself, overlooks Vico, Macy, and the boys?
In space,
yes. Do you think they overlook them?
I think there's a chance. Honestly, I think I put this in the picks. I would not be stunned with an upset here. I'm not picking it. I like Gorman. but not only maybe could they be overlooking, but this game means a lot more to Sierra Vista than it means to Gorman. Gorman, I think, just looks at it as, oh, it's another league game. We're probably going to win by 20 points. Sierra Vista is like, this is pretty much on par with the state championship game to them. At least I think it is.
Yeah, it's their season. And here's the deal. Every game, there's a different coach there to watch Shabazz Muhammad, Gorman's stud junior recruit, right? Kyle Parry's been there. Roy Williams has been there. Ben Hallen, you name it.
Where's Bill Self been? Come on, Bill. Get down here.
Yeah, Kansas grad over here is a little disappointed. I tell you what, Shabazz Muhammad shoots the rock, baby. I mean, if that kid ever got a triple-double, I'd be shocked. You know, he could score with the best of them, but if he has an off-night shooting or if the air conditioning's going the wrong way, maybe Sierra Vista gets in the game. I mean, Shabazz is going to score 30 a game. He's going to get his. But since he shoots so much, maybe he misses a few. Maybe some of the other guys on the team lose interest, and then there they go. Maybe. Am I making a point here?
I do agree.
I love how we always try to talk ourselves into a team beating Gorman. We'll sit here all week during football. Okay, well, if Perump does this and that, and Gorman only plays two guys, they're going to win.
Right, well, I learned my lesson at least because during football I did pick Gorman to lose at least one game. I picked Palo to beat them. That wasn't so smart. So today when I was sitting at my computer thinking about going with the improbable Sierra Vista upset, I sided with Gorman. You got to like Gorman in this game. We'll go on to Friday where there's a full slate of games, some pretty good matchups. But the one we want to focus on is Legacy and Cimarron. Two playoff-bound teams. Cimarron is having a really tough week, which is why I think the Longhorns get it done here.
And see, I actually like Cimarron here just because Legacy kind of, you know, new to the show. Cimarron, big and powerful, muscle them out. The eraser, baby.
So you think they're going to shoot better than, well, I mean, you act like they shoot 25% on the season.
We got to check that field goal percent. Listen, you got to score to win. I mean, do you think Cimarron's going to line up with Canning or Gorman and say, okay, we're going to score 45 and win the game?
No, I don't think they're beating either of those teams.
I mean, my man Shabazz will go off for 45.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not picking them to beat those teams, but I still think they got a chance to win the Northwest, even though I like them to drop a game to Legacy here. While we're talking about Shabazz, we're talking about Gorman. Let's wrap up things by going with another national game that Gorman is playing Saturday on ESPN2, like you said, Santa Ana, California. They're taking on Long Beach Poly, who is 19-0, and not only are they 19-0, but I looked at their scores, and they're playing high schools I've heard of, pretty big high schools in L.A., and they're beating them 83-38, you know, 96-6 or something like that. Not that much, but certainly they look like they're an impressive bunch.
Well, obviously, Long Beach Poly hasn't played a defense quite like Cimarron's, but they're, but they're putting up the scores. Here's the deal. Gorman's played them twice this year, once in the summer, once in the fall, lost by 2 and 4 points respectively. Now, I know it's summer. You're wearing, you know, different kind of shorts and the whole nine yards, so that probably doesn't have the same impact. But maybe Gorman has a little bit of an edge. It's played on national TV before. But you're right, Pauly's undefeated. Pauly's nationally ranked. It's going to come down to the wire. I still think Poly beats Gorman. This Gorman team, they want to win now, but I think they're a year away from doing good things. And eventually, Gorman's going to have to break through on national TV, whether it be football or baseball or basketball or whoever, get a national win.
I don't think that it – I don't even know if it's really going to be that close. I don't think it's going to be like 20 points or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if Poly wins by about 15. This team –
No way.
From the looks of it, this team looks great. I don't care what happened in the summer. I mean, we've seen what these summer tournaments are like. Who knows? Maybe their USC point guard was sick that day and couldn't come or something.
That's right. They've got a USC point guard, and Gorman has no point guard.
Exactly.
And I'm just arguing for you, aren't I?
I like Poly in this game. We'll see how it goes. We'll be back next Monday.